This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Scientists at the University of Colorado are on a quest not just to treat schizophrenia, but to prevent it. And they've just made some real progress warding off an early warning sign of the disease in newborns. They say it's the first successful attempt to do this with a mental illness. Psychiatry professor Dr. Randy Ross joins us to explain. Thank you for being with us.
Glad to be here.
The symptoms of schizophrenia, delusions, hallucinations, these typically begin to show up in young adults, as I understand it. Do scientists really understand themselves what causes schizophrenia?
Not completely. There's been some advances over the last couple of years of components. I think what we've learned the most is it's a really complicated disease that's a result of lots of little things adding up.
Lots of little things in the brain?
In the brain.
Okay. And among those things, what are we talking about?
A lot of it is the way that the brain is wired. It's which parts of the brain are connected to which parts of the brain, and even at a much local, more local level, which cells are connected to which other cells and how well they're connected.
And so in that way, it is almost physiologically observable. Things are connected to things that aren't usually connected.
It's actually a little more complicated than that.
Okay.
Because what it is that there's a normal variation. Obviously, everybody's different. Everybody's brain is wired a little bit different.
No two brains are the same.
No two brains are the same. So there's normal variation in every part of the brain, and there's really no part of the brain that is abnormal in schizophrenia. It's just that a lot of parts that are normal variations, if you get the wrong combination, you can get a bad disease.
It's really like the perfect storm in a way.
Exactly.
Okay. And it turns out that some of these alterations in the brain can actually be treated before a baby is born.
That's really what this study, our most recent study, is about. It's really the first attempt to intervene in a pregnant woman to see if we can improve the way the brain is developing and the way it's wiring and really help the kids and make them more resistant to illness later on.
And you had some success with this.
We did.
In the study, pregnant women took something called choline.
Choline. Right?
This is a nutrient that's found in foods like eggs, chicken, soybeans. What effect were you hoping choline would have?
It turns out that choline interacts with a particular receptor in the brain. And the more you stimulate that receptor, the better the brains we thought would wire. And that's exactly what happened. We gave half the moms a form of choline called phosphatidylcholine, and half the moms we gave a placebo, which was corn oil, and then looked at how well the infant's brains were wired. And the way we did that is we looked at how well they responded to repeated sounds.
And you did this sound test after the child was born?
At about a month of age.
And what's the sound?
Two clicks, like two snaps.
Huh.
And most of us are wired so that we don't pay attention to repetitive, uninformative information. So your refrigerator going on and off, the fan whirring in a room or in your computer, you usually don't hear it because there's really no information and your brain is wired to screen that stuff out.
It knows to keep it in the background.
Yeah, or even to screen it out. It doesn't even let it get into the brain.
Hmm.
At the very first level, it blocks it out. And
that's a sign of a healthy brain.
That's the sign of a healthy brain. Most people with schizophrenia can't do that.
Ah.
They hear both sounds. They hear the refrigerator. They hear all the traffic that goes by all the time. They don't have this automatic process that blocks out this information.
How unnerving.
So we can test that using brain waves in adults. We'll give two sounds in a row and look at the brain waves. And usually people get a fairly large response to the first sound and a much, much smaller response to the second sound. Whereas if you do it with somebody with schizophrenia, they get an equal size response to both sounds.
And in terms of their responses, you found that the choline made a difference.
Yeah, so that the babies who had had choline, the majority of them, even by a month of age, were not responding to the second sound. Whereas for the babies who hadn't had choline, about 60% of them were still responding to both sounds.
Now, that doesn't mean that the babies without choline were all going to become schizophrenic, but this is a predictor among many.
Exactly.
Many, many, many.
So if we can improve one thing, then again, it may take a lot to improve a lot of things to really prevent the disease, but it's a first step.
You cannot say today we can prevent schizophrenia.
Absolutely not.
Right. There's a lot more questions to answer.
Yes.
How strong were the results? How strong were the differences?
The differences were pretty strong. About 75% of the babies who'd had choline were able to not respond to that second sound, and only about 40% of the babies who didn't get choline. So it was about almost twice as high.
And is there any potential benefit beyond the prevention of mental illness that choline in this case could lead to? Like, will these babies be smarter? Or, you know, we don't know.
That's what science is. There's a lot of ideas out there that if you get a lot of choline before you're born, that you will have less problems with your memory as you age. There are thoughts that if you get choline before you're born and you have some other reason that you might have problems with paying attention or cognition, like you have Down syndrome or something like that, that choline may improve your ability to pay attention. So there's a lot of potential benefits.
This is something you take as a pill?
We gave it as a pill. Obviously, okay. It's in food. You can take it in food.
This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner, and we're talking about efforts to ward off schizophrenia before birth. With me is psychiatry professor Randy Ross from the University of Colorado Anschutz Medical Campus. Let's lift the veil a little bit. How do you get pregnant women who are obviously enormously concerned about the health of their children to take part in a study like this?
It's not easy. It's took us a long time to do the study, partially because we were going slow to make sure it was safe, but partially because it took a long time to find enough women who were willing to participate. And we're incredibly thankful to those women who did participate. You know, we reminded them that this was a normal part of the diet, and we educated moms about choline so that even if they didn't want to be in the study, they could go out and know what to eat to get enough choline. It was hard, but we're thankful we got moms who were willing to do it.
Were they all over the country?
No, all over the Denver region.
Okay. How long did this last, this study?
It took us about 9 years.
And that's in part because it was so hard to court potential subjects?
In part. We went slow on purpose, but also in part.
Are there other identifiable signs early on for schizophrenia? So we've talked about like the inability to differentiate the foreground from the background, right? Are there other things you look for?
There's nothing that's predictive. You know, people who eventually go on to have schizophrenia are statistically different in some ways, but nothing that's enough to be predictable. For example, on average, they walk a month later. But there's a whole range of when your kid walks. So if your kid walks at 11 months versus 10 months, it doesn't mean anything.
But
as a whole group, there's a little bit of a difference. There's a little bit of difference in learning to speak when you get words. There's a little bit of difference in attention. So large groups, we can tell differences. And at the individual level, there's no way to predict.
And so what is the next step? So you've identified that choline helps the wiring of the brain, potentially in a way that could prevent a certain kind of mental illness. But how do you answer all the questions still ahead?
Well, I think there's two parts to that. One is, it's one thing to demonstrate, you know, how you respond to two clicks with your EEG.
Right.
It's important to demonstrate that has a functional impact. So we follow these kids as they get older, as they get 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years of age, see if there are any behavioral differences, see if there's any difference on cognitive testing of how well they're thinking or paying attention. So one is to follow up this group of kids. The second is to go back and do a second study with the next set of moms, partially to repeat and make sure that this is true again, and partially to learn from what we did before. So, for example, I said that there were 75% of babies on choline whose brains seemed to be wired well at 30 days of age. Can we up that from 75%? Can we identify babies who maybe are less likely to benefit from the choline and give them even a little more choline and see if they benefit from more choline? So both to replicate it and to see if we can improve on what we did before.
How long will you follow the subjects?
As long as we can. The oldest kids obviously are 7, 8, 9 years of age right now, and we continue to try to bring them in. We've done a lot of beginning testing on them when they're 4 and 5 years of age.
It's a tremendous commitment, both for you and the subjects.
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
That's why we're so thankful.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Randy Ross is a psychiatry professor at the University of Colorado Anschutz Medical Campus. The study he led appears in the American Journal of Psychiatry.